And the music, I forgot to turn on my mic, but there it is. Well, good morning. Glad to be here. I want to say, when your pastor called me last night, he was so distressed, I thought he was at a deacon's meeting. I didn't know what was going on, but he evidently is stuck somewhere in Texas and waiting on an airplane that didn't show up or was late or something, so I'm honored to be here. And a little bit of short notice, but I've actually had a few other occasions with even shorter notice. Had about 12 hours for this, and I've had 12 minutes before, 12 days. One time I even had 12 seconds, and that usually works out for me, because if nobody has any notice, more people show up. So nobody told you I was going to be here, so I appreciate you being here, but I'm glad to be here. And Joe didn't tell me that y'all were having a puppet show, so I'm not sure what I'm supposed to do here today. But I am honored to be here, as always, and you know what your church means to me. You've prayed for us for many years while we were on the mission field, and even after we've been back, and you've helped support us financially and prayerfully, and just loved on us. And so we really love you and really appreciate you and your pastor, and your former pastor, Brother Jack. I don't know if you're keeping up with him, but he's still moving pretty fast these days, and he's part of our association, and so glad to have that relationship with him this morning. But I want to just share with you this morning a few things that the Lord has given me. I would ask you to get your Bibles ready, but I don't really think you're going to need to turn to the first text. You probably know it all, and I think the other verses that I'm going to quote in just a few minutes are going to be on the board. But I want to ask you a question. If you were a sheep, I don't mean in the spiritual sense, but if you were a sheep, or even in the spiritual sense, I guess is okay, what do you think your five favorite words might be? What are a sheep's five favorite words? Well, let me suggest that I think they might be, just might be, the words to a very familiar psalm in the beginning that we all know, the 23rd Psalm. The 23rd Psalm begins like this: "The Lord is my shepherd." That's five beautiful words, isn't it? But you know, we think about these words. We know, we all could quote that, probably that whole psalm. We all know that if we've been involved in church, if we've attended Sunday school and vacation Bible school, we probably know those five words by heart: "The Lord is my shepherd." But like so many other things that are so familiar to us, we often just read by them or quote by them and don't really think about the meaning there. Let me ask you a question. Do you remember specifically, I mean, putting the key in your ignition to come to church this morning? Or did you just do it by habit because you've done it so many other times that same way? And if you take any medicine, did you take it today? And how did you remember to take it? Did you have one of those little boxes that has a day for every, a little square for every day in the week so you remember to take it? Or how do you remember to take it? We do so many things by routine and by familiarity that we don't really think about the intent and the meaning behind it. But today I want us to think about these five words that just might be a sheep's five favorite words. I want us to think about them a little bit deeper than maybe we're accustomed to. When Allison and I were preparing to go overseas, one of the things we needed to study to prepare to do our ministry over there, and some of you have done this for your ministry here, is we had to learn how to teach English as a second language. And there's a study. We've been through it several times. I'm a slow learner. It takes me usually more than once to learn something. But ESL, it's called, English as a Second Language. And there's a technique that they taught us when teaching foreigners, non-English speakers, to speak English. They tend to stumble over the words in an English sentence because they're not accustomed to them. And so to help them to really think about the meaning of the words, rather than worry about the grammar or the pronunciation or whatever, there's a technique called backward buildup. And so rather than just giving a student a sentence and saying, "Repeat this sentence in English for me," you say, "Here's a sentence, but let's start at the end where the period goes, and let's go backwards. And let's take it one word at a time, and let's think about the meaning, and let's practice it that way." And believe it or not, that actually works. It's been proven that people can learn to speak English a little bit better if they do the backwards buildup. So this is a psalm that we hear, but we don't often listen to it, do we? We can read it in our Bibles, but we don't see it for all that it really says. We quote it even, but oftentimes we quote it without thinking about the real depths of the meaning that are in it. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, a famous pastor from England of days past, said this. He said that the 23rd Psalm is the pearl of psalms. And for me at least, the first phrase in the 23rd Psalm is to shine on the pearl of psalms. So today I want us to do just what we used to teach ESL students. I want us to do a little backward buildup with the sheep's five favorite words, and I want us to take these words in order, but backwards, and I want us to think about it a little bit deeper than maybe we're used to. So the last word in the sentence, in the first phrase of Psalm 23 is going to be our first word, and that is shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Now, one thing we need to remember, a sheep needs a shepherd, doesn't it? A sheep needs a shepherd. There are lots of reasons. You may have read books about the life of sheep and their relationship to shepherds. And this is not about that. We're not going to go into all the details about that. But just to say that a sheep needs a shepherd. Why? Because a sheep is low to the ground. A sheep can't see beyond the hills or maybe even past the valley. A sheep can only see its immediate surroundings, and it needs someone on 2 feet who's taller, who can see beyond, who is smarter, who can climb the hill and look beyond the next hill and stand above the sheep to see what the sheep cannot see. So when you read this psalm and you say, the Lord is my shepherd, you're really reading about a wonderful gift that you and I as spiritual sheep in God's flock have. We have a shepherd. Now, Joe David is God's under-shepherd. He's the shepherd of the church, but he's really the under-shepherd to Jesus. Jesus is the shepherd, amen? And so it's important for us to understand the role of the shepherd and just how important it is and what a wonderful blessing it is for God's sheep to have a shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. What does the shepherd do for the sheep? Well, first of all, the shepherd loves the sheep. And you know, if you ever question the love of God, just remember the cross, and you can't question God's love anymore, can you? The shepherd loves the sheep and lays down his life for the sheep. The shepherd leads the sheep. And as we come to church Sunday by Sunday, and as we study our Bible at home during the weekday, he leads us by his word, and he feeds the sheep by showing us in his word what he wants us to know about him and about this world that he has created and about us. He loves the sheep. He leads the sheep. He feeds the sheep. And you know, sheep need to be fed every day, don't they? You know, it's not enough just to get fed once a week. You'd be a special kind of sheep if you could survive and thrive on one meal a week. So I hope that you're not just being fed on Sunday when Brother Joe preaches to you or in your Sunday school class as the teacher leads you in studying God's word, but I hope that you are feeding on God's word every day. The shepherd loves the sheep, leads the sheep, feeds the sheep, and sometimes he disciplines the sheep. You know, we sheep are prone to go astray, aren't we? I know I am. It's a little intimidating for me not only to be here before all of you, but my former high school and college roommate, Kevin Wilhite, is here today. Just happened. I believe it's a God thing. And so you're not allowed to talk to him until after I'm gone, okay? 40 years ago, we were roommates at Auburn University, and we both escaped, didn't we, Kevin? Amen? But you know, it's a wonderful thing when God disciplines his sheep. Because although it's painful for the sheep, it's good for him, right? And if you've never been disciplined and you need it, listen, don't run from it. Run to it. Ask God. Say, Lord, what is it that I need to be disciplined about in my spiritual walk with you? And he'll show you. Read his word. Ask him to fill you with his Holy Spirit and to speak to you. The shepherd loves the sheep, leads the sheep, feeds them, disciplines them, and sometimes he carries them. He's carried me before. Has he ever carried you? And so it's important to think about these little five words. The word, the last word in the sentence is shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Aren't you glad there's a shepherd? Can you imagine being a sheep if there was no such thing as a shepherd? Can you imagine how lost we would be without the shepherd? Now, it's interesting, I didn't mention, but the 23rd Psalm is really the middle psalm between two other psalms that are very closely related. The 22nd, 23rd, and 24th Psalms are really kind of a trinity of psalms, so to speak, Bible scholars tell us, in that you can read them from the 22nd all the way through the 23rd and into the 24th, and you'll see some continuity there. So I encourage you, when you go home today, just take some time before you go to bed tonight and start at the 22nd Psalm and read all the way through the 22nd, the 23rd, and the 24th Psalm, and you'll see that trinity that I'm talking about. In the 22nd Psalm, Jesus is the good shepherd who gave his life for the sheep. Read it, you'll see what I'm talking about. Here in the 23rd Psalm, he's the great shepherd who leads his sheep. And then in the 24th Psalm, if we were to go ahead in that, Jesus is the chief shepherd who's going to return for the sheep. So aren't you glad that we've got a shepherd that loves us and leads us and feeds us and disciplines us, and sometime, someday, is going to carry us home. Amen? So the Lord is my shepherd. But let's go forward to, or actually backward to another word. Not only the Lord is my shepherd, but the Lord is my shepherd. Put the emphasis on that word my. The Lord is my shepherd. In Matthew chapter 9, Jesus said this. It says this about Jesus. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep, having no shepherd. Back in the Old Testament, in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4, they used to have this prayer, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God." And it says, the Lord our God. There's ownership in this. Sure, we belong to him, but isn't it wonderful that he belongs to us? The Lord is my shepherd. And today, if you're a born-again believer, then you are a sheep in God's flock, and you have a shepherd whom you can claim as your very own. Amen? And so, as we read this psalm, we need to understand the meaning. The sheep's five favorite words, the Lord is my shepherd, but the Lord is my shepherd. There's ownership. I own him and he owns me. I belong to him and he belongs to me. And as one of God's sheep, you and I have every protection. We have every right. We have every benefit that our shepherd can offer us. And believe me, that's considerable. The Lord is my shepherd. Not only that, but as one of his sheep, I am no better than any of you. I'm no worse than any of you. You're no better than me or no worse than me, no less. Every sheep is the same because we belong to the same shepherd. Now, our association has 70-odd Southern Baptist churches in it. But really, there's just one church, isn't that right? We're all members of the same family. And we all have the same shepherd. I have a shepherd. That means that there is an intimate relationship between me and my shepherd, and between you and your shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. You know, a sheep without a shepherd is really like a sitting duck, isn't he? Or she. A sheep without a shepherd really has no hope. And right now, even as we speak, there are multiplied millions, even here in Alabama, but around the world, really multiplied billions of people who do not have a shepherd, but you and me can say it together, my shepherd is Jesus. So the Lord is my shepherd. If I believe it's going to be on the wall. If you look at John chapter 10, I want to read just a short passage with you for you. John chapter 10 says, "Then the Jews surrounded Jesus and said to him, How long do you keep us in doubt? You see, they couldn't figure out, who are you? Are you really God? Are you really the Messiah? Are you really the promised shepherd from the Old Testament? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly, they said. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me, but you do not believe because you are not of my sheep. As I said to you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I am his sheep. He is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. But let's go further. Back up one more word. The Lord is my shepherd. Now that's an affirmation. The Lord is my shepherd. That is affirming what we've already said before. This is a present tense affirmation. That means it's a right now. That means not someday am I going to have a shepherd. Not is Jesus going to be my shepherd once he calls the end of time and we all go to heaven. No, the Lord is my shepherd even as we speak. No maybes, no laters, no hope-sos. The Lord is my shepherd. Right now in our association, we have 8 churches without a pastor. Can you believe it? I was really, frankly, fairly shocked when I first realized that we had so many churches at any one time who are pastorless. But I understand around our state it's about 10%, and 7 or 8 is about 10%. So we're about average. And as I was thinking about this word in this verse this morning, I thought about those 8 shepherds, those 8 churches. They don't know who their shepherd is going to be. Now, you know who your under-shepherd is. They don't know who their pastor is going to be, but they do know who their over-shepherd is. Amen? You see, they can say the same as you and me. The Lord is my shepherd. When a church calls a pastor, they hope he's going to be a shepherd and a good shepherd. They hope he'll shepherd the flock. Jesus is the shepherd. Jesus does shepherd. Jesus said this. He said, the Bible says this about Jesus, rather. It says, Jesus is the great I am. So if you're born again this morning, you can say, I am is my shepherd. I have a shepherd, and his name is I am. We may not know our future. We may not know our neighbor even sometimes. We may not know our sickness. We may not know why to that question we keep asking God about. Why? We may not know the answer to that. But every born-again Christian can absolutely know right now, right this moment, that Jesus is your shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Somebody wrote this. They said, we may be in the valley of death surrounded by wolves with dark clouds overhead and slippery quicksand underfoot, but we're not here alone. Our shepherd, my shepherd, is here with me. You rejoice in that? Aren't you grateful that we have a shepherd and that he is here? But let's go further and move back one more word. And this is probably my favorite word in the whole part of this passage. Not only the Lord is my shepherd, but let it sink in. Listen to the words now. The Lord is my shepherd. You hear that? Now, there's a lot of good shepherds around the world, I'm sure, with funny names that we probably couldn't pronounce. But listen, we have the best shepherd of all. The Lord is our shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. What does that word Lord mean? Well, here's what it means. It means master. It means boss. It means king. It means sovereign. So just replace those words for the word Lord. The master is my shepherd. The boss is my shepherd. The king is my shepherd. The sovereign is my shepherd. Now, it's one thing to have a shepherd. Every sheep, like I said, needs to have a shepherd. But listen, we have the Lord as our shepherd. King David, even though he was a king, the greatest king probably in the history of Israel, the king is one who wrote Psalm 23. He said, I'm a king, but the Lord is my shepherd. Do you hear that? Do you hear the meaning of that? The Lord is my shepherd. No one is sovereign, none of us for sure, even though I know a few, not in this room, but I know a few who think they are. You've heard me say before, I think I've said here before, Adrian Rogers up at Bellevue used to say, you know, everybody, every man and woman needs to know two things. One is there is a God. Number two is I'm not him. We're not a sovereign, but we have a sovereign. Look back at John chapter 10 again. We'll go backwards a few verses to John chapter 10, verse 11, and listen to what Jesus said in that passage. He said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep. And I am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Whose sheep? His sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Listen, our shepherd owns the sheep. Aren't you glad to be owned by the greatest shepherd in the world and in the universe, by the Lord himself? Aren't you glad that he owns you and me? We are not of ourselves. We are bought with a price. The Lord, the boss, the sovereign, the master is my shepherd. Down here on earth, we can argue about a lot of things. It's getting football season. We argue who's got the best football team, although for most of us, there's no real argument, right? Y'all can laugh. It's okay. You don't have to be. We argue about a lot of things. We argue about who's got the best pickup truck. We argue about who belongs to the best church. All of those things that don't really matter that have temporal meaning. But there's one argument been settled a long time ago, and that's who's the Lord is. Long been settled in heaven and on earth that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. So the Lord is my shepherd. Let's back up one more word, and that's a pretty simple word. In English, it's the word the. And all that I can think of about to say about that is that there's only one. The Lord is my shepherd. Years ago, a famous Shakespearean actor, I don't know exactly what a Shakespearean actor is, but there was a Shakespearean actor, and he was the guest of honor at a social gathering where he had received many requests to recite favorite excerpts from various literary works, from various famous books. And he would recite these works and with great oratory excite the masses with his oratory. And in the crowd, there was a retired pastor. And this pastor asked the actor if he could recite Psalm 23. And so the actor agreed on the condition that the preacher, after he was finished, would also recite the psalm. And so they agreed, and the actor recited it, and his recitation was beautifully intoned, and it had great dramatic emphasis and pronunciation and diction and all of that. And when he was finished, he received lengthy applause. And then it was the poor preacher's turn to follow that. And so the preacher got up. His voice was rough and broken because he'd been preaching for so many years and now was advanced in age. His diction was not polished. But he quoted the psalm, and when he finished, there was no applause, but there was not a dry eye in the room. And afterward, as they were leaving, someone asked the actor, "What made the difference between when you quoted the psalm and when the preacher quoted the psalm?" And the actor said, "Well, I know the psalm. He knows the shepherd." So let me ask you, do you know the shepherd today? I know you know the psalm. I guarantee you I could randomly choose anyone in this room and you could quote me probably verbatim out of your favorite translation, whatever that is, the psalm. Don't worry, I'm not going to do that. But I didn't ask you if you know the psalm. It's one thing to know the psalm, but it's immensely more important to know the shepherd. You see, I've known the psalm for a long time, but my life was changed when I came to know the shepherd. And that's why I think, at least for this sheep, these are my five favorite words. I can stand up before you and I don't have to give a great oratory and a great speech. All I have to say is, folks, look at me, listen to me. The Lord is my shepherd. Hallelujah. So if you can give that testimony, let's just all say it together this morning. The Lord is my shepherd. One more time. The Lord is my shepherd. Now, I don't know everybody in this room. I know a lot of you. But I know that in a crowd this size, there may be somebody here who knows the psalm but doesn't know the shepherd. Nothing to be embarrassed about. This is your appointed day. If you know the psalm and you don't know the shepherd, then today you can leave knowing both the psalm and the shepherd. All you have to do, the Bible says, is confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. The Bible says that all of us are sinners. That's why we're not the sovereign. All of us have fallen short of God's glory. And the Bible says if we will confess our sins and repent and turn to the Lord. You know, I heard a sermon the other day that made me think about repentance in a different way. I've always thought and I've preached and I've heard preached that repentance was the turning away from something, and that is true. But really what repentance is turning toward the Savior. See, you turn away from your sin and you turn toward the shepherd. And so I want to invite you today, Brother David, if you'll come forward and lead us in music quietly. I want to invite you today, if you know the psalm but don't know the shepherd, turn from your sin and just turn to the shepherd. The Bible says, confess with your mouth. That means to admit, to agree with God that you're a sinner. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. That's to admit and agree with God that you're a sinner, but he's the sovereign. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, and you shall be saved. Let's stand as David begins to lead us. And I just want to invite you. I know our pastor's not here, but I believe he would give me liberty to do this. If you want to come forward, there are deacons here. There are members of the church who can receive you. I'll pray with you. If you want to come forward and just say, Lord, I want to thank you that you're my shepherd. Or if you want to come forward and say, Lord, I know the psalm, but I want to know you. I want to learn about the shepherd. Then I invite you to come as David leads us.